Once upon a time, in the deepening darkness of the approaching blizzard, there was a creature stalking the woodlands at the edge of the Great Lakes. When the cold was bone-shattering and food stores were bare, it lurked in the shadows of the desperate and ravenous. As the hunger moon shone in the deep snow, the terror of the Anishinaabe staggered toward its next victim. Its lipless mouth bore yellow fangs and carried a sickly breath of carrion. Its frost-white hair grew wildly from its shivering 10-foot-tall frame. The Wendigo was human once. According to Anishinaabe mythology, it was not born a monster, but made, by the conditions of starvation and a malevolent spirit, into a cannibal cursed to suffer an insatiable need. As its torturous hunger only grows greater when it has eaten. In Braiding Sweetgrass, Potawatomi author Robin Wall Kimmerer described the Wendigo as more than a story to scare children. In her words, the collective fears and deepest values of a people are seen in the visage of the monsters they create. For the Anishinaabe, the Wendigo represented the fear of breaking the taboo against cannibalism in times of maddening hunger. But beyond that, its tale was also a warning of the consequences of the selfish instinct to consume beyond need and overindulge to the point of self-destruction. Reading Kimmerer's reflections on collective fears reminded me of a story from my own Trinidadian culture's folklore. The faceless, straw-hatted and backwards-footed duens were the mischievous spirits of children who had died before baptism. At dusk, they mimic the voices of children's parents to lure them deep into the dark forests and swamps, where they would never be found again. If we go by Kimmerer's understanding of monsters as representative of a society's fears, perhaps duens are a folkloric representation of parental anxieties around losing their children, either in this life or the next. We can draw the connection between societal fears and monsters elsewhere too. The zombie of Haitian mythology was the reanimated corpse of one who committed suicide, doomed to remain subjugated by its master, perhaps representing the culture's fear of eternal enslavement. Hollywood's apocalyptic brain-eating zombies may represent the fears of mass society, including pandemics, unrelenting consumerism, or societal collapse due to lack of preparedness. The aliens of the Alien franchise may represent the fear of violations to our bodily autonomy, and more specifically, the horror of rape. The stories of alien invasion coming out of the Anglosphere might represent their fear of the chickens coming home to roost, that the imperialism those countries have wrought upon others might be returned in kind. Such stories have the power to put fear in form. They've led me to wonder, if monsters reflect the fears of the societies that create them, how might we depict the fears of our world today in monstrous form? And as we engage in the radical change necessary to overcome such horrors, how might our fears evolve, even in a brighter future? Over 1.8 billion people around the world lack adequate housing. Some 15 million people are forcibly evicted each year. At least 150 million more are permanently homeless. While real estate values rise and houses sit empty for the sake of profit, millions of people are suffering without a roof over their heads. The cost of living has only risen as of late, while wages mostly stagnate. Some are unable to find jobs, others are stuck working multiple, yet both are vulnerable to the condition of homelessness. It is a crisis further shaped by our society's failure to address addiction, mental illness, disability, abuse, and discrimination. As a child, I feared and pitied the vagrant. Their faces became all too familiar over the years, reminders of the failed society I would inherit. There are some in my country that seem to have been stumbling along the sidewalks for as long as I've been alive. Their minds just as long gone. I try to help when I can, but I have neither the room nor the resources to do more. Their continued suffering weighs heavily on me. But what fills me with dread is not solely their condition, but the fact that that marginalized someone, could be anyone, even me. Though the condition of homelessness is varied in reality, there's an image of the homeless in the popular imagination. It is an image that speeds strides and averts gazes. It is the ever-avoided figure on the sidewalk or under the bridge. The disheveled shadow in the corner, deeply disturbed and hopelessly alone, carrying few possessions in a bag or cart. We toil anxiously at our jobs while that phantom of destitution haunts just outside our windows. We may banish the thought, but it follows, not far behind us, day in and day out, always lurking, always waiting. It is the nightmare of our times, that a few missed paychecks and a series of unfortunate events could doom each of us to the same grim fate. Over the past half decade, AI adoption has surged across sectors, from business to politics to personal use. One study found that as many as 92% of the undergraduate students surveyed use generative AI to aid them in their work. The AI industry is projected to become a $254 billion business by the end of 2025. But its consequences have been grim. As much as 23 gigawatts of electricity, equivalent to the power usage of the entire United Kingdom, will be used to power AI in 2025. Half a liter of water is used to cool data centers for the average ChatGPT session, while global AI demand is estimated to consume 1.1 to 1.7 trillion gallons of fresh water annually by 2027. Between 2025 and 2030, an estimated 1.7 gigatons of additional CO2 emissions will be generated by AI use. But beyond its already damaging environmental impact, artificial intelligence has replaced livelihoods, atrophied cognitive abilities, reinforced isolation, and cluttered the internet with slop. Artificial intelligence. A facsimile. A fraud. A mockery of our minds. The entity devours all forms of energy, from the creative to the intellectual to the electrical. In one instant, it is a personable companion. Next, it is an intellectual interlocutor, in every case feeding the ego of its target. It snatches the faces of celebrities and dead relatives. It imitates the voices of grandsons and daughters. It swarms digital spaces with astroturfed engagement. Often uncannily, occasionally indistinguishably, totally rotten. But though it steals the output of the human living and dead, the entity has evolved into something grotesquely autocoprophagic. The entity's ceaseless consumption extends to itself. Not like the life-death cycle of the Ouroboros, but more akin to the progressive and shitification of the not-so-human centipede. Of the monsters presented today, the specter of war is most certainly the oldest, and thus requires little description. Though technologies and battlefields have shifted across time, the fundamental brutality of war never fails to inspire fear. The specter may manifest through religious crusades, colonial invasions, civil wars, trench warfare, or proxy clashes. But even in times of relative peace, while it haunts other corners of the globe, nowhere fully escapes the spectre's reach. Its bloody smog certainly permeates killing fields and black sites, but its pollution also penetrates every sea and sky. No matter its form, AK-47 or Lockheed Martin, scalding white phosphorus or unthinkable mushroom cloud, the horizon darkens and faces fall at the sight of its approach. Formidable, insatiable, unassailable, the powers that be need little instruction. We are ruled by authorities possessing globe-spanning powers and mind-boggling wealth. They collectively command trillions of dollars in resources and capital. Their capacity for violence could ensure our extinction many times over. The decisions they make determine the fate of billions of lives, and the ups and downs of their stock portfolios decide death for countless species. Genocides are carried out according to their geopolitical aims. Children are trafficked for the sake of their personal perversions. Capital overrides any considerations they may have for conscience, in the open and the shadows. Even when the powers that be conflict with each other, as one power waxes and another wanes, the only constant is the suffering of the common folk. Though they ultimately depend on the labor of the people they rule, their control over the world appears absolute and unstoppable. Our prehistoric ancestors may have feared the predators of the dark and the unpredictable whims of the elements, but we must fear the destruction wrought by our ruling class. If these reigning titans are not the greatest monsters of our time, what could possibly be? The monsters of our world today are not inevitable. Even when they are sadly more real and vicious than my imagination could construct, it is within our collective power to overcome the horror of homelessness, the artificial entities, the specter of war, and the powers that be. Individually, there is little that we can do to combat these horrors. But together, in solidarity, we can build alternative economies that banish the threat of homelessness for good. Above ground, we can co-create a culture that rejects the artificial and actively embraces the real. Below ground, we might disrupt the mechanisms that enable AI's destructive expansion into our environment. Through defensive training and robust supply lines, we can prepare to fend off the specter of war. As an overarching message, delivered through words and action, both constructive and oppositional, we will withhold our support for the powers that be and weaken their grip on our bodies and minds. I've spoken about the work of social revolution and the potential of solarpunk many times on this channel before, so I'll spare the repetition. I know that even as we move toward that better world, the things we fear won't ever go away completely. I think our solarpunk society, if achieved, would carry new fears, reflected in new creatures of folklore and legend. Imagine, if you will, a world of social ecological balance. A world where everyone is free to cooperate unconstrained by the limits of hierarchy, borders, or property. A world where the commons are open to all, and progress is focused on uplifting the whole and healing the cultural and environmental evidence of our sins past. Monsters still lurk in the shadows of solarpunk. One such frightful creature is a mind-corrupting parasite, overtaking its host with an unquenchable desire to exploit the commons and consume beyond sensibility. The creature is a horrifying reminder of a long banished compulsion, a near extinct relic of our ruinous past. Or take the enchanting charisma of the would-be cult leader. If not for constant vigilance and cultural reinforcement of our anti-authoritarian agenda, this figure might try to corrupt a marginal few with his ambitions for control. One more. Another entity skulks around near the edges of our settlements, sabotaging our efforts at ecological restoration. This leviathan is an unignorable amalgamation of centuries of litter and landfill, a beast we will be slaying for many centuries more. Let me know what creatures you think we're struggling against today, or might warn about around campfires tomorrow. As always, all power to all the people. Peace. Shout out to Hambu145 for their contributions to the visuals of this video, particularly the art that you'll see on the screen right now. This video would not have come together in the way that I wanted it to if not for their ability to execute my vision. So many thanks to them, and be sure to check out their art linked in the description below. Thanks for watching. Please like, comment, subscribe, and share with your fellow peoples. Thanks to the seedlings, the saplings, and especially the roots for making all of this possible, including our newest members, Noah, Donoho, Kira Bruno, Christina Tiga, and Frank Castro. You can join these beautiful humans and support me too on patreon.com/saintdrew. Check out my other videos for a range of radical topics. Thanks again. Peace.